And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. Excuse my croakiness first up. That's a bit unfortunate. My name is Jo Stanley and I have done my vocal warm-ups. I'm joined by Gerald Quigley. Good morning.
Good morning, Jo.
And Sarah Davison. Good morning.
Hello. Lovely to be back.
It is lovely to be with you on this Sunday morning. Now, I have to admit, I've turned 50 in the last year and most of my friends now also are in their 50s. So we're having health conversations, I suppose, because of our life stage. And one very common one is around heart health, because suddenly we all know someone who has had a heart scare or in very devastating circumstances lost a loved one to a heart attack. It's more common, really, I think, than we realise.
And I wonder why, and it'll be interesting to find out from our specialist coming up, how this has developed. Why has it taken so long for us to get our heads around the threat of heart attack and the general education around heart health in women?
Well, this is specifically what we're talking about, because it used to be a conversation dominated about men's heart health, but it is shifting to an awareness of women and their heart health, because globally, heart disease is the number one killer of women.
That blew my mind. Mm. I mean, I knew that it's sort of been seen as a bloke's disease, but we had no idea the statistics of how widespread it is among women.
Mm, because I think it presents very differently for women.
Mm. Possibly, yes. And it'll be just interesting to see why there are these differences. Why do blokes have, and maybe it's just the perception we get on TV shows, pain in the chest, clutching the chest, collapsing in a heap, whereas women traditionally have been, look, I've got a bit of chest pain, I'll prepare dinner, I'll get the kids' stuff ready for school tomorrow, I'll go upstairs and have a snooze and I'll be okay.
Yeah, physiologically we're different, of course, but whether the research is there or not, I mean, there's lots of questions to ask. Mm. So we are really pleased that Dr. Monique Watts, a heart failure cardiologist and specialist in women's heart health, is joining us to talk about this disease, which not only kills more than two times as many Australian women than breast cancer, it can often go undiagnosed. So really, really important conversation there. As of tomorrow, we can all get our fifth COVID booster shot. Are we lining up for this?
Number five.
A lot of education about that as well, because the vaccination rates are actually dropping off.
So yes.
Have we gone too hard too early? Are we telling people too much instead of educating?
Well, we will ask these questions of Professor Catherine Bennett, Chair of Epidemiology at the Faculty of Health at Deakin University. Lots of questions to ask around the fifth COVID booster shot. Plus, Gerald, you're going to give us some tips on wound management and the importance of waterproof dressings. And I know we get so many questions about
We do, and they are the ones that never heal and the ones that suddenly are treated poorly. And we used to think, just let them scab up and they'll get better. It's not the thing to do now. We've learned a lot more about wound healing. We'll talk about that.
Super important conversation there from you, Gerald, and wonderful to have your experience and knowledge there. And on your Get Nourished segment this week, it's all about gaining more energy.
And don't we all need more energy at all times of the day?
Always.
24-hour news cycle we're in, so we're going to talk about that based on some research out of Germany.
Wonderful. Give us a call, 131 873, if you have any questions to support your health. Gerald is here with all of his knowledge and experience, as I said, to answer your questions, whether it's what to eat, a supplement to take, whether you have a symptom, perhaps there's issues with a wound yourself. Give us a call, 131 873. And next up, heart health for women.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Be prepared for life's little accidents. Find Opsite post-op waterproof dressings at Chemist Warehouse. The top film provides a barrier against bacteria, which may help to minimise the risk of infection. And it's Australia's leading waterproof dressing, enabling you to shower and wash with the dressing in place. Opsite post-op 3-pack available now at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. For further details, visit chemistwarehouse.com.au. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Go Healthy Ubiquinol at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. The number is 131-873. If you have any questions at all for your health, do give us a call. First up, though, globally, heart disease is the number one killer of women, and yet it can still easily go undiagnosed or untreated. We are in the middle of Red Feb, run by Heart Research Australia, which is all about creating awareness of exactly this very important issue. So joining us on the line is Dr. Monique Watts, a heart failure cardiologist and specialist in women's heart health from the Epworth and Alfred Hospitals. Good morning, Monique.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's so great to have you to hear about this really important issue. We hear that these statistics about women are really scary and they're very dangerous, the heart disease, obviously, for women. But what do those stats actually mean in real terms?
What it means is that when it comes to women's heart health and heart disease, there's a lot that we need to do. So the research is telling us that women with heart disease are going undiagnosed and untreated, and that women don't perceive themselves as being at risk of heart disease. We've also found over recent years that women are doing worse after their heart attack, so they're more likely to have another heart attack or more likely to die or have heart failure than men in the 5 years after their heart attack. So there's a lot we need to learn and a lot we need to understand better.
Monique, it seems like those statistics are quite alarming, and yet I feel like heart disease is less recognised in women. It's still kind of perceived as a bit of a bloke's disease, and yet I feel like we should, you know, clearly know that this is such a big killer for women. So why do you think that it does get, you know, less recognised among women?
I think women tend to focus on their reproductive health, and their preventative health is more around mammograms and pap smears and things like that and skin checks. Heart disease hasn't really been on the radar for women. And classically, we think of heart disease as being something that affects men. Therefore, women don't look into managing their risk and are perhaps less likely to seek help in a timely fashion. So we know that women tend to develop symptoms of heart disease at a later stage of the illness than men, but they're also less likely to seek help quickly. And even once they do seek help, they're less likely to be diagnosed in a timely fashion. And that's a big problem in heart disease, because in the case of a heart attack, minutes really matter.
Monique, we all rely on evidence base for various treatments, but do you feel that there's been very little concentration and focus on women's heart health, where traditionally when clinical trials are run, it's often focused on blokes, maybe a certain age, but is there specific women's health research going on as we speak?
There is, and this is something that's really started to increase over the last decade or so, when we started realising that our women were doing worse, and that instead of the mortality coming down in all groups, as we're starting to see in male heart disease, the mortality is actually starting to rise, particularly in younger women. So we've really started to gear towards doing research in women, and that's where women's heart clinics are really important, and it's why campaigns such as Red Feb are really important, to try and encourage that female-specific research, because we have learnt that women's hearts are biologically and physically different to men's hearts. So the disease affects women's hearts in a different way, and women's heart attacks are often very different to men's heart attacks. So we've got to learn more about that, because all of our guidelines have been developed based on research done predominantly in male hearts, and we've made the assumption that male hearts and female hearts are the same, and it's just not the case.
So can you then speak to that exactly, of the symptoms of a heart attack in a woman and how they differ for a man? Because we have this, you know, image of that very sudden attack, and, you know, that's not necessarily the case for women.
No, that's exactly right. So women are more likely to have vague symptoms or associated symptoms or confounding symptoms. So while chest pain still might occur, it might be more of a heaviness or a tightness, or in sort of in the top of the tummy or up in the neck. Might be discomfort in the jaw or the arms, or they might have some chest pain, but they might also have overwhelming fatigue or dizziness or nausea, which can confuse both the patient as to what's the main problem, but also the investigating team when the patient does present. So it's important that both patients and women, and also healthcare providers, are really aware of the fact that it doesn't have to be chest pain to be having a heart attack.
And as well as those symptomatic and physiological differences in how the heart attack manifests, are women's risk factors and things that might cause or make you more likely to have a heart event, are they different as well to men? Like, do we have different risk factors that are specific to women?
We do. We have female-specific risk factors. So the traditional risk factors that we all know about still apply: smoking, sedentary lifestyle, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes. But there is a group of novel or female-specific risk factors that, although we can't change them, they can identify a woman as being at higher risk, and that's a reason for us to be able to hone in and really do everything we can to aggressively reduce the modifiable risk factors. Those female-specific risk factors are things like early menopause. So estrogen is really protective, and when that estrogen starts to fall away, changes occur that will increase a woman's risk of heart disease. So particularly menopause before the age of 45 really increases a woman's risk. Inflammatory conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, but also pregnancy complications. So this is a really key point. Pregnancy is like a stress test for the heart. So women who have problems with pregnancy, particularly hypertension, gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, small for gestational age babies, are more likely to develop heart disease at an earlier age. So it's really important to be aware of those things and talk to your doctor about them.
Do we miss the point sometimes, Monique, where we don't educate about exercise? We just say to people, go and get some exercise, whatever that means. Eat healthily, whatever that means. And I know we focus sometimes on low fat, but it's a little more complicated than that, isn't it? We've got good fats and bad fats, and yet we don't really focus on helping people understand. How do we get that message better?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot that we can do on a day-to-day basis to reduce our risk. And yes, it is keeping moving. And you know, I say to my patients, 30 minutes of brisk walking 5 days a week is fantastic. When it comes to food, yeah, there's a lot of information out there. But sticking to a low-fat diet, I tend to tell patients the Mediterranean diet is really good, and it's really easy to find information on that. And, steering away from, I guess, animal fats is an easy way to look at it, and looking more at a plant-based diet is very, very good. Not too much red meat, lots of fish, nuts and seeds, that kind of thing. Okay. And working to keep your weight at a healthy level. And also being just the mental approach, being aware, trying to stay positive, but also being aware that you can actually do a lot to reduce your risk.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all the work that you do, Monique. It's really wonderful. After more information on Red Feb and how you can donate, and if you want information on heart research and also perhaps heart health for yourself, head along to heartresearch.com.au. Thanks so much, Monique.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great morning.
You too. Let's get to one call. Hi there, Peter from Waterways.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, guys. How are you? I hope you're all well.
Thank you.
Just to quickly warn the people out there, I was misdiagnosed 5 years ago. My dad had heart surgery because he had blocked arteries. So I don't smoke, don't drink. I like my food. So I thought I'll get tested. This is when I was 50. I'm 56 now, 57. So they put me on the treadmill. They threw me on the treadmill for 10, 20 minutes. Oh, no problems. It's all good. Your heart's fantastic. It's like a 20-year-old. I go, no. Just have a look inside. No. You're all fine. You're all fine. So I go, no. I want you to have a look inside. Anyway, they put me through. I went to Frankston. I had 3 arteries blocked. No symptoms.
And Peter, what you've shown is that no one knows your body like you do, and this is particularly important in women's heart health, but also in blokes, where if something doesn't seem right to you, and how often do we get that message from callers who say, I just didn't feel, something wasn't quite right and I pursued it. So, well, we all need to be empowered in our health. We all need to know what we normally are, and there's a reflection that Peter's picked up. So well done you, and you're back on track now. So terrific. And genetics weren't with you, Peter. That was the other issue. Obviously, they didn't perhaps look at that seriously as they might have.
A great lesson. Thank you so much, Peter. Next up, dressing our wounds.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get off-site post-op at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Sarah Davidson. 131-873 is our number. Let's take a call. Hi there, Peter from St Kilda.
Morning, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Thanks, guys. Look, I've had a last year I had a cough for about 6 or 7 months. Mm-hmm. I had some scans done and they just found a small amount of emphysema. Mm-hmm. It went away. It's come back again. I've had it for about a month. They're talking post-nasal drip, but no one seems to have any answers to it. I'm just wondering if it could be a long COVID thing or something like that.
Did you catch COVID, Peter? Yeah, have you had COVID?
Look, I have had it, but I had minor symptoms. I've had four, you know, I've had the four shots. I've had my flu shot. It's just something I can't shake, and it's particularly bad at night. I have to get up and I'm sort of leaning over the sink. And going through lots of tissues. It seems to be in the nose, but obviously on the chest.
Look, it could be postnasal drip. So let's look at a three-pronged attack, Peter. You can buy from your pharmacy. Have you got any issues with your breathing? Are you wheezing much, or is it when you cough?
Look, actually, yes. What they suggested was go back on Seretide. Yeah. I used to have asthma, but I hadn't used that for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it is affecting that again.
Okay. And you're so using the Seretide twice a day at the moment?
Look, every second day, it seems to come and go, the wheezing.
Seretide is a preventer, so it needs to be used regularly. So how about we go back onto that morning and night, carry with you, and to have perhaps in your bathroom in the evening, if necessary, a salbutamol or Ventolin puffer. But if you use that Seretide twice a day, your need for the other puffer, the preventer, will be minimal. The best of the herbs to try and help lung function is by ivy leaf. There's some great ivy leaf mixtures around. And use a saline irrigation before you go to bed at night, Peter, to stop that post-nasal drip. Now, the old-fashioned chest rub before you go to bed, find someone to put it on for you, throat and upper chest. It'll help both of you sleep.
Does it work?
Yes.
The old-fashioned chest rub.
Rub it on the soles of your feet as well.
Back to basics.
Bit of menthol.
Yes, all those things. And that just helps, and maybe a slightly higher pillow, Peter, but all of those things. But the most important thing you've got, which is that preventer or the Seretide.
Lovely. Keep your calls coming, 131873. Now, Gerald, we do get so many calls asking about wound management. It's an important topic. You are, of course, a community pharmacist, so you have some advice for us on wound care. The first question I have for you is, what classifies as a wound and what types of wounds are there?
Well, there are two types. So there's the wound, which is the graze that we find or we've sliced our finger with the stay-sharp knife or whatever. So that's what we call an acute wound. You've never done that, Sarah?
I'm laughing with familiarity at the situation.
And then there's a chronic wound, which sadly we do get calls about chronic wounds, which never seem to heal. And that's often where there's other associated issues like diabetes. And that is a wound which doesn't heal after 4 weeks. So it changes the classification. So we're talking here about an environment to get the acute wound, the cut, the graze, the scratch, the burn, better. And we've learnt so much. We used to leave it out to dry out and scab up. Worst thing now. We know we've got to keep a moist environment.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
Yes. Well, I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, what is the ideal environment for an acute wound to heal? Because I do have that dilemma all the time. Do I cover it to protect it? Do I air it out to let it dry? Like, what do you do? What is the ideal scenario?
We've come a long way in wound care, and there are dressings now which will protect, keep moist, are waterproof and breathable, and will last for up to 7 days. Now, that range of benefits is terrific, particularly if you've got, say, a child at school or a footy injury, and, you know, as the world's best football trainer, you're going
That's
to find...
You need these in your toolkit, Joe. I do.
You're going to find lots of grazes, particularly on the hard grounds at the start of the season where there's and gravel after the cricket pitch. So all of those things can be really confronting because they do weep, which is good because we want to just try and keep them moist.
So the idea is to cover them, but if you're covering them, you need a waterproof dressing.
Yes, to keep bacteria and infection out, to keep the moisture in and protect. So it does the whole caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really terrific that these dressings have been developed over time. They're getting better all the time.
And suitable for everybody, even if you've had like an operation
or stitches,
like that.
Whatever, that's fine. So we're protecting and promoting healing. That's what the story's all about. And this is the acute wound. We're not talking about the one that will never heal that you've had for 6 months. You can protect that, but that requires specialist advice. We're talking about the acute one that just suddenly we find, bang, it's happened.
Okay, well, that's great advice. Do keep your calls coming, 131873. We'll get to more calls in just a moment. Plus, next up, all the info you need on the fifth COVID booster shot on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Be prepared for life's little accidents. Find off-site post-op waterproof dressings at Chemist Warehouse. The top film provides a barrier against bacteria, which may help to minimise the risk of infection. And it's Australia's leading waterproof dressing, enabling you to shower and wash with the dressing in place. Off-site post-op 3-pack available now at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. For further details, visit chemistwarehouse.com.au. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Go Healthy Ubiquinol at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Well, the fifth dose of the COVID-19 vaccine is available in Australia from tomorrow. So joining us on the line is Professor Catherine Bennett, Chair of Epidemiology at the Faculty of Health at Deakin University, to answer our questions. Welcome back to the show, Catherine.
Good morning.
Well, now, Catherine, for some reason, there always seems to be confusion around the COVID vaccine information that is shared. I don't know why that is, but people do get quite confused. So it's great that you're here to help us with this, to answer really clear questions. So firstly, who is the vaccine available for?
Well, in fact, it is a bit simpler this time. We're used to rules around people according to, you know, their underlying illnesses or their age and vulnerability and so on. But this time what they've said is it's anyone who is 18 and older is eligible to have it as long as they are now 6 months since their last dose. Doesn't matter what that last dose was. If you've had your first booster or your second, is irrelevant. It's just that last dose, if it's 6 months, or it's 6 months since you've had an infection. Once you're clear of that 6 months, there's now, you know, good evidence that your immunity is starting to wane. And so you can have another dose now with these new bivalent vaccines. So, yeah, 6 months since your last if you're 18 or older.
So that's really interesting, Catherine, because I think thinking of it as a fifth booster is a bit confusing in that you think it has to be the fifth that you've had. So you don't have to have had your first, second, third or fourth vaccinations to do the fifth one. But who should be getting this in terms of the demographic or, you know, immunocompromised people? Like, who are the people who should be going to get this?
Look, that's exactly right. While they've made it eligible, everyone's, you know, 18 or older can have it, the people they're really focused on are still those who are vulnerable to severe illness. For younger adults, we have seen a pattern with the Omicron variant and subvariants, the ones circulating now, that, you know, their risk of severe illness is low. But you're right, if they have had their first booster but didn't get around to having the second, this isn't counting the number of boosters, it's just the time since the last. But really, the focus is on those who are more at risk of still having a severe reaction to an infection, the people who have underlying illnesses, who are immunocompromised. Everyone 65 and older, they're the people that should be really, you know, double-checking when they did last have their infection or, you know, a booster shot to see if they are eligible. Then now's the time to look at getting their next shot.
Catherine, I see a double whammy on the horizon. One is a slower uptake generally of the booster shots, combined with that annual confusion over the last few years, COVID versus flu, where many people feel that one will cover the other. How are we going to get around that to make simple messages out there so that the forecasts that we hear, which are sometimes dire, they can be a little more reassuring?
Well, one of the things they're looking at is developing a vaccine that will cover both flu and COVID. Mm-hmm. So that would make life easier because you'd basically have a winter dose that would cover our two most challenging viruses, particularly for the elderly and for particularly flu for the very young.
Sure.
So that's something that I think will simplify things going ahead. We're still learning what's happening, but one of the big changes over the 2022 has been that we've had an Omicron phenomenon. We haven't had the kind of succession of variants that we'd seen previously. And this gives us some greater understanding of what the future might look like. There's no guarantees that something else won't come along left field. But whilst this continues, we're looking at shifts in the subvariants. We're not looking at big step changes that change the way we have to think about them and respond, or that change the way our vaccines work. So we're starting to get into a bit of a pattern. And I think that will help people understand as well going ahead that for most people, we might just be looking at something like a winter booster. For the vulnerable people, we might look at, you know, two doses a year still if we still have this phenomenon of waning immunity, particularly in those that don't have as strong an immune response. And I should say now, while we have one flu dose, that really only covers you for 6 months. Mm. And so, you know, when I was travelling overseas, my nurse who was providing the vaccine said, you know, if you're going overseas in September, you really should have another dose because your winter dose here in Australia is starting to wane.
Sure.
So you need to have another dose to go overseas. So it's looking a bit more like our flu vaccination, and maybe they will coalesce into one dose, one shot.
Good.
So, Catherine, they're obviously still, the vaccinations and boosters are still quite important. But even though there are more subvariant changes than dramatic changes, we've also seen a lot of long COVID around. So just quickly, could you cover who's most vulnerable to this?
Well, long COVID is associated with both your infection history, but also the same things that put you at risk of a severe infection. A severe infection itself, particularly one where you've had multiple symptoms, is a predictor of long COVID, so that makes people more vulnerable. And, of course, the things that put you at risk of that severe infection originally, including not being up to date with your vaccinations, but also underlying conditions, age and so on, then might set you up for a higher risk of having long COVID and having long COVID with more symptoms. So it's a similar pattern. If you can avoid that infection, particularly if you're in those vulnerable groups, that could make a big difference to long term. So all the underlying conditions, but also vaccination is important in trying to reduce that. And the one good thing is that, you know, one of the triggers, and there's just been a paper out from Japan this week, but, you know, has been that lung infection, the pneumonia, the things with the earlier variants in particular that pose big problems. And that has been a shift with Omicron in that people are more likely to have, nose and throat infection, not getting deep into the lungs. That's why not as many people, thankfully, are ending up in hospital or worse. But also that could be one of the reasons why we're not seeing quite the same long COVID story. And so, you know, the variant might be working in our favour in that it's less likely, but all those other things around vaccination are still important because it might just be the thing that reduces that risk.
So head along to your GP and get that vaccination is the message. Yes, Catherine?
Absolutely.
Yeah, love it. Thank you so much for joining us once again. It's always great to have you on the House of Wellness.
Thank you.
You have a fantastic morning. Let's get to one quick call. Hi there, Mavis from Sydney.
Good morning. I just would be appreciative if anybody had any suggestions. I have for many years now woken every morning with chest pain, which is quite severe. And I'm under a GP and I've had heart investigation and everything. But I just thought there may be some miracle that someone can offer me to relieve it, because at times I just feel I can't put up with it too much longer.
I think the miracle we're chasing here, Mavis, is to try and find the underlying cause of why you're getting this chest pain in the morning. It's reassuring that your GP has ordered tests, but if you're still getting the pain, you may have to just perhaps insist on seeing a specialist, a cardiologist, a specialist physician, to try and find out what's going on, and perhaps even a gastroenterologist, because it may be a digestive thing. It could be a musculoskeletal thing where you've slept a funny way and you consistently get into that position and you wake up with pain across your chest in the intercostal muscles. There's lots of things going on, Mavis. You've just got to keep the system's nose to the grindstone to find out why, because it obviously is very worrying. So don't just put up with it'll be okay. If it's there, it's not okay.
Yeah, feel empowered to keep going, Mavis, and searching for that solution. Mm. Yeah, thank you so much for your call. After the break, ways to raise those much-needed energy levels.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
The secret to looking healthy and feeling confident comes from within. Try JS Health Vitamins Detox and De-Bloat from Chemist Warehouse. It's a vegan formula containing ingredients like fennel, turmeric and milk thistle to help relieve abdominal bloating and support natural body detoxification processes based on Western herbal medicine. Choose JS Health Vitamins best-selling Detox and De-Bloat at your local Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Go Healthy Ubiquinol at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness, Gerald. It's time for Get Nourished, and we're talking about how we can find some much-needed energy.
There's often the analogy with ubiquinol in the discussions we have about a highly tuned engine in a car, and that can be just superb, but it really only runs as efficiently as the fuel you use and how well you keep that well maintained. And it's no different to the cells in our body. They all have a power production unit called a mitochondria, and that's what we need to keep nourished all the time. The nutrient of choice, and it's been a lot of work done on energy levels, particularly with some soccer teams in Germany, showing that if you have ubiquinol, your energy output will be faster. So if fatigue is a problem, particularly the long COVID-related fatigue, which is becoming very common, the ubiquinol is specific, 150 milligram to 300 milligram a day, depending how you're feeling, what advice you get. But it's a no-brainer. It's simple. There's no interactions, and it just gives you the results.
I mean, I'm not a German soccer player, but no, I do have
but
busy
you're a
days.
Highly tuned athlete.
Yet.
But you know, there's that fatigue that you feel just from having your day full of just back to back.
Well,
you're
a busy person in so many different ways. And the difficulty is we can all get to the stage where when you stop, you almost feel guilty. What else can I be doing? Because we've become so highly tuned. But we're talking here about at cellular level. So heart muscle, muscles right across your body, dry eyes, the muscles in your eyes, they all benefit from ubiquinol.
So interesting that it affects so much, like our whole area of
every muscle requires mitochondrial function efficiently, and that can be supported with ubiquinol.
Well, Get Nourished is brought to you by Microgenics Ubiquinol Active, powered by ubiquinol. Let's get to another quick call. Hi there, Karen from Burwood.
Hi, Karen.
Oh, good morning. Hi. Listen, I've slipped on water, snapped my kneecap, had surgery, pins, wires, you name it. But what I'm wondering is there anything I can do to help break up scar tissue?
There are some wonderful scar products around, Karen, scar gels, and some of them come with instructions, particularly on the age of the scar, as far as massage techniques are concerned. Look, there are some that are better than others, but if you go to your pharmacy and just ask them for a scar gel that comes with instructions on how you massage the scar to minimise the marks and remove all the underlying congestion, you'll fix that without a problem at all.
All the best with that, Karen. We do love our callers on the House of Wellness. You can always head along to our website, houseofwellness.com.au, to the Ask tab.
It's been a busy week on the Ask tab, Joe. And just a reminder too, Chemist Warehouse is open for vaccination bookings too.
So you can
get on that now and book.
All righty. Houseofwellness.com.au is the website for more information. And we'll have more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Ubiquinol, the active form of CoQ10, is produced in the body to support heart health, but it declines as we age. Try Go Healthy's Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol from Chemist Warehouse. It boosts your body's supply of ubiquinol to help support cardiovascular health, immune function and energy levels. Plus, it's readily absorbed by your body. Go Healthy Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligrams, available at your local Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Go Healthy Ubiquinol at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
It has been lovely, as always, to share the last hour with you. We are in the middle of Red Feb, which is Heart Health Month. I see you have your red socks on there, Gerald.
I sneaked out before Philippa could spot them. She's not a fan.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of you supporting Red Feb.
I just need to now be comfortable wearing, you know, that style of pants that is about that much above
the ankle. Oh,
yes,
I'm not a fan of those.
That's what the trendy folk are doing these days, Gerald. Listen, the House of Wellness TV is back today, Sundays midday on Channel 7, Fridays 2 p.m. on Channel 7. And today's first episode is actually Embracing Heart Health Month, Red Feb. And there's a particular story about broken heart syndrome. It's a thing.
It is, yes. And you hear of one spouse dying after the other has, and it happens in the animal world as well.
I'm glad it has a name as well.
Well,
it's an official thing.
I think there's a special type of cardiomyopathy and tubo cardiomyopathy. So it's got other names, but essentially broken heart syndrome.
But in this, it's when there's been a particular moment of stress. And so actually it can come from good stress as well.
Wow.
So like surprise parties. and things like that.
So for all those people who hate surprise parties, they're vindicated by today's episode.
Surprise, but call an ambulance, please.
Yes. Have an ambo on site.
So it's a really interesting story on House of Wellness TV today. Also, there's we get to see Luke Hines in a flotation tank.
Yes, that's pretty scary. But
Luke is putting his body on the line for this show, and I really appreciate it.
He does it so much. And no, if you want to see Luke and his speedos, he's there on the show.
It might float your boat.
It might.
Yeah, I like that very much. So make sure you head along to Channel 7 midday today. And we're back on Friday with episode 2 at 2 p.m. On Friday, as always, we say head along to houseofwellness.com.au for more information.
Can I give a special thank you to Mark Petkovic, who's been on our phones for as long as we can remember? Mark, you are an absolute tradesman and good luck.
Oh, thank you very much, guys. I will miss you all.
Mark, I am going to miss you so much. You were so kind and you guide me through this lovely ship. You are the captain of this ship. So
thank you very much.
I'm going to miss you. I don't know if you're going to miss us as much.
I will.
Anyway, as always, we say thanks to our friends at Chemist Warehouse, and we will see you all next week.